What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Art of Suffering podcast with Dalton Darnell. Today, we have Con Grimm. He has decided to come on and share his story with you guys. Just like a lot of my guests on the podcast, I do not know Con from Adam, so we'll get to know him together through this episode. Con, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet, man. So kind of get me started. Where are you located? Where are you from? Kind of. What do you do for a living, and kind of let us know a little bit about you.
Okay. I'm, in, Herewin, Utah, Southern Utah. And I ride horses for the public. And I have a saddle business. I make custom saddles.
Okay, so cool.
Yeah, that's kind of my business.
How long you been doing that?
I just started full time in June. Like, I've been kind of making saddles on the side for, I don't know, 15 years, and I just decided to kind of take it full time in June.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, what's the name of that business?
It's Grimm Saddlery.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a leap of faith there. That's
it definitely has been. It's been a very big leap of faith, and I mean, the Heavenly Father has definitely provided for us doing this.
That's awesome. Yeah, he always does if you trust him.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's been a very, very big trust of just kind of stepping out into the unknown, not knowing when your next paycheck's going to be there.
Yeah, for sure. But,
yeah,
for sure. But so it's been good. Kind of towards, I'm assuming that you've either seen some of my stuff on social media or you've listened to the podcast, maybe. You know, kind of, what were you wanting to come on and share with us as far as your story's concerned? Is it about your business or your family life or kind of how you grew up? Like,
I mean, more maybe just like my spiritual growth, I guess. You know.
Okay.
I guess in a way, yeah, it's just more like spiritual growth and maybe like what Heavenly Father has done for me. Mm-hmm. In a way, because I mean, I've thought about a bunch of different stuff I could share. I just didn't know exactly what all, like, maybe you looked for in a podcast.
Oh, well, no, really nothing, honestly. it's more or less just about, typically when folks reach out, they got something to say, you know what I mean? And, and they have a story of their own, and not everybody gets to hear those stories because your friends would, or the people that are around you, you know what I mean? But no, the normal podcasts that we listen to are people who have like freaking been to Afghanistan or have made $1 million in the last year, or it's not your normal everyday guy. You know what I mean? Just like me and you who are just grinding through trying to own a business and, you know, eat.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it. And the faith side of it, for me personally anyway, is the whole reason why I do it. It's the only thing that matters.
Right.
The other stuff is just my vocation. It's just my job, you know? And if your identity comes from your job, you're gonna find the end of that pretty quick, in my opinion.
Sure.
For myself anyway. So take me through that. How it kind of, take me through your walk with Jesus. Kind of how did that come to be?
Yeah. So anyway, so like I was, you know, being in Utah, you know, the majority of us are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know, AKA LDS, Mormons, whatever you want to call. So like I grew up in that, you know, I mean, I'm still a member of that church, and, you know, so I grew up in that, but then like when I hit, graduated high school, you know, I'm like, I grew up riding horses, cowboying and stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to go cowboy. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, found a cowboying job, and most of the time you might get a weekend off. And instead of going to church, I would be like, well, I need this day for myself to go do X, Y, Z, you know, like I need to go do laundry. I need to go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And so like I ended up doing that, and I kind of, you know, I wanted to live the cowboy life or whatever. And so it was like, I wasn't ever I got into drinking and stuff, but I was more like a social drinker, you know. And I wouldn't just, binge drink every night. It was more just if there was a party, I would go and drink. And so, but then like this, this lifestyle, whatever, kind of it got to where, I did a lot of like camp jobs. So like I was pretty much by myself all the time. And so the life just got to where, like, I felt something empty inside of me. Like I was missing something. Like I grew up feeling something. And then all of a sudden, I didn't have that anymore. And I wasn't quite sure what it was. Well, I mean, I guess I did know what it was. It was like the love of our Savior. Like I had been away from that so long that I was missing it. And so I was kind of trying to like find that again and whatnot. And so yeah, just eventually I kind of started going back to church. And
It's interesting. Everybody's story, Con, is not the I drank myself into oblivion. I did heroin. Right? So like I'm in the process of kind of writing out my thoughts. And the goal is to try to compile all the things I've been learning into like a book format, right? And one the name of the book is Death Roads. And I'm like you. I got into drinking pretty heavy, but I was functional. Like I went to work, never had any trouble. Like I wasn't like getting sloppy drunk and beating my kids or anything. I was just drinking too much, you know? But what I find, man, is we travel down these death roads that the world deems as good. And you wouldn't think, and your job can be that. So like cowboying and being alone all the time. Right? So that's a death road. If that's where your identity comes from, like I'm a freaking cowboy. That's all I do. I'm just a cat. Like there's no life. It's just
No,
death at
there's
the end of
not.
that. There's nothing there for you. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about there.
And so like and then like through all of this I ended up, I mean it started way back when I was like a teenager. I got a porn addiction. And like to me like that like the pornography I think should be talked about more often, maybe like in religion, because I think it's really like shunned or whatever. Maybe it's getting better, but it was like if you kind of have this, like it's like, oh, it's a hush hush thing, you know. But and like I always thought it's like, oh, like when I get married I'll be able to take care of that, you know. It's like when I get married, I'll be able to have sex and, the sex will be able to take care of the need and I won't need to watch that anymore. And I mean,
That's not how that
that's
works.
not, and no, it's not how that works. Definitely not. So, but like talking to like some leaders and stuff in the church, they really, 'cause like I'd go to talk to them and be like, well, I got this. This problem, this pornography addiction, and I can't even like remember how it was, but they're like, we can help you and stuff, but like it kind of has to start with like you have to be the one that wants to quit. And so but yeah, so like they were going and they're like, like your Savior Jesus Christ, like he's not gonna hold this against you, it's like he loves you no matter what. And he forgives you
And
for
now
the
this is the
sin.
Mormon church?
Yes, this is the Mormon church, yeah.
Okay.
And but I guess, I mean, in a way, I guess maybe I didn't really want to quit because, so I ended up getting married, and I didn't tell my wife that I had a pornography addiction like when we first got married, and I didn't tell her for 2 years. Which I'm telling people, like, don't do that. Like, if you have a problem, like, be up front and tell your wife. And so, yeah, and like, I just always thought, because Satan, he'll sit there and he'll beat you down and be like, you're worthless. Nobody's gonna love you because you have this. You need to keep it hidden inside of you because if people find out about it, they're gonna shun you and not think you worthy anymore. And so like
No
you just have
question.
that, playing in your mind that it's just, yeah, you're no good. And I can't tell my wife because if she does that, then she's gonna leave me. And like we had two kids already and she was pregnant with our third. And I was just like, oh, I can't. And for whatever reason, like we were just laying in bed one night. And I'm not like, if you like straight up and ask me, like I'm not good at lying to my wife, but it's just the topic had never come up. And we were laying in wife, and for whatever reason, the topic came up and she's like, have you ever like looked at porn or had a problem with it? And I was just like, was silent because I'm like, I can't say yes, but I can't say no either. And so, I mean, it just like it tore her to pieces, just that silence. And I mean, we've been married for 8 years now, so this was 6 years ago. And I mean, just that feeling of like letting her down, of not being forward with it and whatnot. Like it was hard and like it tore her to pieces. And like I can't even remember because it was so long, but like we worked through it and everything. And like there was a couple times, like I'd have missteps or whatever and like look at it and be like, I had problems and stuff. And she's like, it wasn't the fact that you had this addiction. It was the fact that you didn't trust me enough to tell me about it. And
And y'all been married 8 years now, like today?
yeah, eight. Well,
Okay.
no, so 8 years in August. We're just past our 8 years. So it was 8 years in August was our
Okay.
anniversary was in August.
Okay.
But so like it was like a problem because I mean we have these devices that we hold in our hand that I mean it's just so easily ready to access to the whatever the world you want to look at. And so I was like, I can't like do this. It's like I need you to like get on my phone and just block anything and everything. Pretty much put like a child security on my phone, like a child lock on my phone, so I can't look at things. So like that was, been good. But then I'm like, it was still like a struggle because you could sit there and been like, okay, well now like, well my wife doesn't have that lock on her phone, or it's like, oh we don't have the lock on the tablet. I could go look at the tablet. But yeah.
Sorry.
You're good.
Okay, go ahead. That printer was about to clean itself and it's really loud.
Yeah. Okay, you're good. But anyway, so I mean that was like, for me, it's like, okay, so she's put these barriers up, but then I have to, show to myself that I really want this, that I don't want that because, the first time that she fell out and I lied to her, or just flat not told her for the first 2 years, it's like I cannot put my wife through this type of pain again, And so
Yes,
like it's
I do know.
been really good, like kind of having that, and even like every now and then, it'll be like having a conversation. She's like, well, have you looked at it? And it's like, no. Or it's like I'll go and tell her, been like, it's been kind of like rough, and like I've had the thoughts of wanting to look at it, and just being able to have that, dialect, because it's so much better to be able to be upfront and let somebody know the things you're struggling with, than try to sit there and keep them inside, because that's what Satan wants. He wants you to sit there and keep it inside and just fester inside until, I mean, you're like, you think you're too far gone, but Heavenly Father knows that you're never too far gone.
No, 100%. And
And
I had a similar experience early on in my marriage,
yeah.
with this same deal. And what I found, man, and I was long a believer. I kind of got saved and started following Christ right before I got married. But like most men our age, this has been a struggle.
Yeah.
And two times in my life, this has happened. Two times. First time was with porn. This would have been, oh, years ago. I don't even know how many years ago. But it was like God cut it off like a limb. It was like
Oh yeah.
he just
Just
said,
cut it off.
whack, it's done. And he did it about 3 months ago with alcohol.
Heck
I've
yeah.
been trying to quit drinking for 15 years, dude. Like, and I finally got to this point in my life, and this happened twice. And what's funny is as Christ changes your heart towards him and his purpose,
Yeah.
things that make you feel guilty, like, are things that you used to do and didn't feel guilty about. And
Yeah.
so I got to this spot where I was like, I want to live a guilt-free life. Like, I don't want to wake up in the morning and feel like shit about anything. And those two were the big ones. Like, those were the biggies that was like, okay, this makes me feel like shit. What am I doing here?
Right.
But that conviction you had for the love of your wife is an amazing thing to me. I'd like you
Oh
to dive
yeah.
into that a little bit, because I don't know if people, I don't think men articulate that enough, that this is how I feel about my bride. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, oh geez, that's, I mean, the love for your wife to me is pretty much, I mean, circled back to like how much the Savior loves us, because the way I think of it, like our marriage is kind of like a triangle. It's like me and my wife are at the bottom and God is at the top of this triangle. And so the love of my wife is like the same love that the Savior shows for me. And,
I agree.
but I mean, it just, I don't even know how to maybe explain it fully.
Well, that's pretty
We're
accurate,
just,
in my opinion.
yeah.
I look at my wife as a gift. Like,
Oh, for
literally, I wrote
sure.
her a letter yesterday. It's like God literally made this woman to help me. Like, and it's evident in all the things that she does, and it's very hard to express that to her and to the world, really what that kind of feels like. And I'll be the first to say that it's a choice. And as you meet your wife's needs, she begins to meet yours. And
Yeah.
the person that God stuck you with to marry is her job is to help sanctify you. So your wife being a little bit different than you is part of the game. It's part of what
Yeah.
makes it fun. And you have to learn to choose that person every single day, even if you differ in
Yeah.
opinion on a lot of things. But with all that being said, so kind of, Con, take me back. What were your parents like, man? Were they religious or
Oh yeah, like
believers, or I
they were
mean,
both converts. Like they kind of grew up, I guess my mom like kind of always knew there was like a Jesus stuff, but they both got converted to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when they were 1920 or something. And so like they raised all of us kids in the gospel. And just, and I'm the youngest of five kids. And so like they raised us, we went to church every day, which was, I mean, awesome, looking back and, getting, like I remember my mom, she'd always wake us up for school, and the first thing we would do, we'd wake up, we'd go out in the living room, and she would read scripture to us for like 15, 20 minutes every single morning before we went to school. And I mean, that just, even though, like, looking back on it, because I was thinking about that this week, kind of preparing for this podcast, and I was like, I probably really didn't understand the effect of just sitting there listening to the scripture, 15 minutes every day before I went to school. And, so I've tried to take that into like my practice with my children now. I mean, I don't do it in the morning, but I sit there and read with them every night and, say a family prayer before we go to bed. So we'll sit there and read some scriptures and say a family prayer. And sometimes that is hectic because, like, my oldest kids are 10, and then I have some clear down to 2 years old. So, I mean, they're like running and screaming, and half the time I don't think they're listening to me. But yeah, like, my parents were were really good. But
Well, that's, I
and
mean,
then
mine were too. I mean, really, looking back.
yeah. Oh, and then yeah. So and then like I was like some of our kids, like we have three biological kids and then three we have adopted. And so I mean the adoption stuff like that has really been like a struggle and like a something that God has helped us with too. 'Cause like the first ones, like we were just married. We'd been married for like 4 months, I think, and we didn't even know, but the first two, they're twins. And they had been taken, the state had taken them because the mom was doing like heroin or meth, I can't remember, but like making it in the house with the kids. And so, like, the state had
Lord
taken the
have mercy.
kids. Yeah. And so the state had taken the kids and we didn't even know it. And then, like, they were in foster care for like six months, I think it was. And then they realized that the mom wasn't going to turn her life around. And so they started reaching out to see kind of family and stuff. And at first, like me and like my wife was, it's a third cousin, so she was kind of a little bit too far removed. So they reached out to like my wife's parents about seeing if they wanted to adopt these kids. And like I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, yeah, that'll be cool. Have a a couple young nieces, and because I'm like 4 months married, I'm not thinking I don't want any kids right now. I'm like I'm enjoying this
100%.
newly married life. And so and then all of a sudden my wife, it was during Christmas, I remember it was during Christmas, we were at my in-laws in the living room, and just laying there, and my wife looks at me and she's like, she looks at me and she says, "We need to adopt those two girls, not my parents." And, I look at her, I'm like, "Really?" And I'm like, she's like, "Yeah." And so, I'm like, "Okay, well, let's say a prayer about it and see, kind of maybe like what we feel like if Heavenly Father wants us to." And so, we sit there and we kneel and we say a prayer, and I mean, just this overwhelming feel of the Spirit just comes upon us, being like, "Yes, these two children are meant to be yours." And so, yeah, we ended up just because
Can't
we
say no to
were,
that.
yeah, no, you can't say no to that when it's just like, "Yes, these two are meant to be yours." It's like they just had to come to you just from a different means, like they weren't birthed to you, but they are gonna be yours to raise in this world. And so yeah, so we by the time kind of everything got figured out with the state, we had just been married 6 months by the time we took them into our house. So I mean, 6 months married, raising 2-year-olds, twins. And I mean, let me, like, that was a struggle for me. Like, I, like, you know, we didn't get to go through the baby phase of like loving them or nothing, you know, as a baby. Like, they were little, you know, hellion 2-year-olds.
Wild.
And yeah, wild. And like, it was just like, it was a struggle for me, and just having to like kind of, you know, praying every night of being like, Heavenly Father, it's like, okay, you told me you wanted me to raise these children, so like, you know, give me the patience and show me how to love these children, you know, that you've asked me to take under my wing and raise now.
Gosh, how long did you have
And
before you had your own?
so I mean, just like
Or biological ones?
once we like took them, like it was just a couple months, and we were pretty much decided that, because they were, we got them in February, and then they turned 3 in May, and we're like, we need to have another kid, or else there's just going to be too far apart. So there's 4 years in between those two that we adopted and our first biological one. There's 4 years in between them.
That's how mine are, and
Yeah.
that wasn't on purpose. We tried for years, but and I honestly like that age gap. Like, it's
Yeah.
pretty cool having a handy sucker and one that's wild as a, you know, run over dog.
Yeah.
Like my big one, he's handy. Like, he's nice to have around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 'cause like the twins, like they're 10 now, so I mean, yeah, it's pretty nice. Like, they're a big help around the house now. And so like, we had them, and then, yeah. Sorry, were you gonna say something?
Yeah, what's the view in the Church of Latter-day Saints on discipline? Spanking, is that a thing?
Oh yeah, like I freaking got spanked all the time when I was a kid, and I spanked my children. Like, I think it's good for them. Like, I
Yeah,
mean,
I
my
just don't
mom
know
had
anything
like,
about the
yeah. I mean, it's pretty much like whatever you kind of see, like how you want to raise your children, whatever. I mean, it's pretty much up to the parent how you want to discipline them. You know, like, they don't have any set rules you have to follow. But yeah, and so then,
As little as possible, as much as necessary, you know what I'm saying?
yes, yeah, for sure. 'Cause I mean, my mom had this leather strap that, you know, was like a good handle, then it just kind of feathered out. That, you know, that was for like the severe occasions, you know. And most of the time she would be like, okay,
Yeah,
when
the
dad
big
gets
ones.
home, you're gonna get this leather strap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was on the
And
receiving end of more than one of those as well.
yeah. And so then, like, anyways, kind of going to like our next adoption, like we go, and then we have our second biological child, you know, 2 years after our first one. And so it was during our second biological child, was like when like the porn thing kind of came up, and like that my wife finally found out that I had that addiction, whatever. And like, she was just like, oh, it was like, I just like, I'm not pretty enough, or like, he doesn't think I'm worthy enough, you know. Like, he has to go find solace in, you know, these stuff online, because I'm not worthy enough. But anyway, so going, so we have this, and then the next adoption we had was my cousin, and she actually reached out to us, but she was also like, she was on like meth and heroin and stuff, but she reached out to us and was like, you know, it was like, the state's gonna take this child, because it was born It was in the NICU, and it was born addicted to like meth and heroin and opiates, whatever. And they had to use morphine, like as a newborn child, to get it weaned off of. Like it was the saddest thing. But so like my cousin reached out to me and being like, "Will you guys take my child and raise it? Because I just don't want it to go into any random person." So we're like, "Yeah, we'll take it." And so like she's up there, this little girl's up there in the NICU, and they're having to wean her off of like morphine and heroin and stuff. And I mean, it's so my wife goes up there and spends 15 days at the hospital with this kid. And she asked me and to come up there and give this kid a blessing. And so I drive up to the hospital, and we find a time when the nurses aren't in there, and I give this little 7-week-old child just a blessing, just a simple just kind of pray over it, and just asking Heavenly Father to just heal this baby from her addiction that she didn't even ask for, and I mean that. And so, like I said, this blessing, and I mean, it was a miracle. That baby was in there for four, I think it was just a little over 2 weeks, 14 days, 15 days. And like the nurses are like, "Man, this is unbelievable," because a child this severe that has had so much trauma in the womb, before she was even born, just trauma in the womb, like should have been in the NICU for at least 30 to 40 days, and she was only in there, 15, 17 days. So I mean that I think that right there was a big miracle of Heavenly Father, answering my, this blessing that I asked over this child to, heal her and help her. And so I mean that's just, a hand right there of just, and of just blessings. And so then after this days we take this child home, and it's the day we take this child home, my wife finds out that we're pregnant with our sixth kid, which would be our third biological.
The
And so I
day
mean
you brought it home?
the day we brought it home. So we have this 3-week-old baby, and she's like 6 weeks pregnant or whatever, however long it
Oh
is when they
my
find out
goodness.
she's pregnant. She pees on the stick, and she's like, I mean, comes out a wreck of the bathroom and being like, "I don't know how I'm going to be pregnant and raise a newborn child."
You're
And
gonna be miserable.
I
You're
mean,
gonna be
they're like,
miserable.
it was rough. It was definitely rough. A lot of sleepless nights, And I mean,
This wasn't that long ago.
no, so this was only 2 years ago.
Gosh darn,
Yeah.
y'all are
So
just
the,
coming out of that fire.
yeah. So like our youngest right now is two. Let's see. She just turned two in April, our youngest one. And so like we have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, and then a 6-year-old, and then 2 10-year-olds, and they're all girls. I got six girls.
What? They're all
Yeah,
girls?
they're all girls.
Oh, Lord have mercy, dude.
So,
Holy smokes.
and like,
Oh, the Mormons do it different, ladies and gentlemen.
okay,
That's
I
wild.
guess. I mean, like, and I joke, and I'm like, man, I can't even adopt a boy. Like, Heavenly Father just keeps sending me girls. I can't even adopt a boy, but I mean, it's
Oh,
good. And
man.
love them all.
That's crazy. Oh, that's crazy. Man, I heard this perspective the other day. I'd love to get your take on this. Because we come from wildly different backgrounds. I grew up and live in the Bible Belt, dude, like the Baptist Bible beaten belt, baby. Let's go. So, and then you grew up in Utah, which would be the flip side to that, where it's mostly Church of Latter-day Saints or Mormons. And I heard this guy say the other day, he said, Christian, atheist, Islam. He said, I don't care what you name it, they're all gang names. So I would include Mormon in this. I would include Baptist in this. I would include Church of Christ in this. And he said, and I deeply agree with this. He said, it's either the kingdom or it's not. It's the 100%. Kingdom of God or it's not. And so it totally flipped. I mean, it totally flip flopped my mind of like, man, like if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you live your life to transform yourself into his likeness, it's for the kingdom, dude.
Yeah.
And all these names everybody puts on it is just a bunch of BS that everybody made up. I mean, it's that's it. Like it, that's what it says in the book. You know what I mean? And, cause I don't know anything and I've never studied any other religions or anything. I've always thought that was kind of cool. Like when guys talk about it, all the different stuff that people teach and learn and
right.
blah, blah, blah. And I think that stuff's neat, but then again, there's this sickening part of it. That's like the world has adulterated so much of what God has said. Even in the Christian faith, like just the Christian faith, like we got a church on every corner down here and one guy standing in Church of Christ Church telling all those people that they're going to heaven because they're in a Church of Christ Church. And the guy down the street at the Baptist church is saying something different, but they both call themselves Christians.
Right.
And it's like, what? That doesn't make any freaking sense, you know? So it's the kingdom or it's not. And if you're working for the kingdom, then you're in the army. You're a warrior for the king. And I don't know. Sure. I just think that's really interesting. I did have a guy tell me one time that that the devil was Jesus's brother. Is that something that's taught in the Mormon church?
Yeah, that is something. Yeah, so like they were like the first two born of like, yeah, so like that's something like we believe is that he was like Jesus's brother, and the way like we get it up in heaven, there was like a battle or whatever, and there were like two proposals. So there was like Jesus's proposal where he'll come down, and like what he did is like he'll come down and just give us our free agency to come back to him. Or Satan's proposal was, I'll go down there and make sure they follow like a strict guideline, and if they get out of line, like we'll like we're like, you're not gonna lose anybody. It's like they come down here and they follow this rule, and you're not gonna lose anybody because everybody's gonna come back. To where Jesus was like, no, like we're gonna go down and let them have their free agency and grow and learn on their own, and they're gonna make their own choice to whether they come back or not. So yeah, so like, and then
that's
the war in heaven. The war in heaven, you know, there's a third of the host that wanted to go with Lucifer's, you know, Satan's plan, and they followed him, and those are like the all the evil spirits that like to torment us and drag us down with them because, you know, they're miserable and they want to make us miserable too.
They're good at trying.
Yeah.
Suckers. Would that make Lucifer or would that make Satan not an angel or Jesus an angel, or what's that like?
Yeah, so like they just say like Lucifer is just a fallen angel because like he lost when they cast him out, he lost his what did they call it? Like pretty much like he couldn't be in the presence of God anymore, so he's a fallen angel. So like I wish I was better like at like remembering things, which that's like one thing that I'm trying to like, I want to get better at is kind of just being like a better biblical scholar in a sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Jesus is like an angel, but then like, right. Cause I mean, like, I guess throwing a little bit of like Charlie Kirk in here, you know, like I watch a lot of his videos and I mean like, that guy, he could almost any discussion he had, maybe a few political ones he couldn't, but almost every discussion that guy had, he could bring it back to some kind of biblical story and be like, look here, it says this in the Bible right here. This is why we do, or this is what it says about this problem in the Bible. And like, I just really admired that. And that's something that I'm wanting to work on is like, I want to be able to, like, when I talk to people, be able to do that.
Yeah,
And
I did a clinic. I did a clinic in Oklahoma for Cowboy Church not long ago, and this guy said to me, he's talking about some of his people in the church, and they were having differing opinions on things, and not necessarily biblical truth or nothing. It was like literally the functioning of the church, you know what I'm saying? And I told him, I said, bro, you got the easiest out on earth. And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you're a leader that Christians are following. I said, just simply say, what's the book say? What's it say to do? And then if you don't know what it says to do, then that's what you say. Say, I'm not sure what it says to do in that situation, but we'll do some research. There you go. I mean, like, it's literally that easy. And that's how, I mean, like, that's how I respond to business opportunities or business problems or whatever with 310 or 310 EDU or the clinics or whatever. If somebody asks me a question or says something to me that I'm unsure about, I literally just say, I have no clue what the Bible says to do in that situation. I'm gonna look it up. Why don't you look it up too, and we'll figure this thing out, you know? Because Charlie Kirk was a freaking genius, dude. Like that guy, to be as, I mean, he was younger than me. And that dude had freaking Leviticus memorized, which is the worst book to read on earth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude was a freaking nature, literally. I mean, he was a modern day Paul, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree. It's like that
It's
guy was a
his.
warrior for Christ.
Oh, dude,
100% in my
absolute
mind.
unit. Which is crazy. Has there been any like craziness going on in Utah since that happened?
Not really. No, I mean, like
That's
it's
good.
all been pretty good. Everything's peaceful, like everybody's, pretty Christ-centered here. I mean, you do have the few random, crazy, far out there people, but I think everywhere kind of has that.
Yeah, no
Satan just
question.
trying to get his grip on things. But anyways,
Well,
there
it's like
was
90% of the people that live here would say they're a Christian, but they're not.
right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you ask anybody on the road, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, did they live that way? No, not at all.
No, right.
And that's the key, is the walk, the relationship, all of those things are key.
Right,
And
yeah.
it's just, that's what matters.
Yeah, like that's for sure. And that's one of the reasons like I wanted to reach out to you because like I wanted to be able to, like I say I'm a Christian and be like, and I wanna go out there and like promote God's word, be like, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe he died for my sins. Like I don't want to be ashamed of that. And I want, people to know that. And if they see that, then it's like, there's something that that person has that, I don't have. Maybe like what's that little spark that that person has that I don't? And that's kind of like where my mind has been going. It's like I want people to see me living in a way that maybe makes them want to change a little bit.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And here's my perspective, right? So like I can hear the comments now. I can hear the comments on YouTube now that somebody that grew up in the Baptist church might would be angry with me about not arguing with you based on the difference between your book and my book, right? And here's my
All
take
right,
on it
yeah.
for whoever's gonna comment that. Here's my take, right? Do I think the God that I serve is gonna send Khan to hell for the thought or the belief that Jesus and Satan are brothers. I don't. Do I agree with it? No, I don't. Do I think he's going to send me to hell if Jesus and Satan were actually brothers and I thought they weren't? No, I don't. No. Right? And so it's the same thing with baptism. It's the same thing with the food we eat. It's the same thing with tithing. It's the same thing with all of it, right? This book is wildly difficult to understand. It's hard to get, right?
Yeah,
it is. And so what I've done in the last 5 years of my life, what I've done is I've simplified it for myself. Mm-hmm. So I think it's Matthew 22:37, maybe 22. Yeah, 22:37, I think. It's love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And then it's James 4:17. If you know it to be wrong, it is a freaking sin for you. That's where we're going, baby. Love God, love people, and freaking try not to sin. Let's go, dude.
For
down
sure.
the road we truck. And I read the darn thing every day, and I can't say every day I'm like, oh, right? It's not like that.
I can't
like
either.
I'm just trying to understand what I can understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same for me.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I read it every morning, or I try to read it every morning. There's a few mornings that I don't get to it, but I try to. Like I have it sitting right there on like my dining room table, so like when I sit down to eat breakfast, it's right there because I'm terrible. Like if it's not right there, kind of in my sight, I'm gonna eat breakfast and I'm gonna leave, and I won't take the time to go sit down on the couch and pull it out of the bookshelf and read it. So
yeah,
I have it sitting right there on my breakfast table, and so I sit down, eat my breakfast, pull it over to me, and I read. Every morning, a lot of the times, you know, my kids are running around me, getting ready for school. And some of the reason why I do that is just so like my kids can see my kids can see their dad, you know, reading God's word. It's like, you know, he's sitting in there and he's wanting to get closer to a savior, you know, by reading his word. And so, you know, like I read with them every night, like I said, but then also like I want them to see that I'm doing it like on my own time too, like because I do it for myself and I do it for them. And
no, that's what you have to do. That's what's required of us.
For sure.
It's key, dude. It's very important. It's very important. And having the discipline to make that decision is noble, because not everybody does it, and it's very apparent if you just go to Walmart for about 15 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, dang it, man. I'm coaching 6U baseball. Dude. Whew, these youngins are wild, son.
It's a struggle.
And it takes every part of me not to put my hands on them. I'm not lying to you. I mean, I'm just one time. If I got a hold of you one time. Yes, dude, take the freaking dads over the knee. It's like, dude, freaking snatch that kid up, man. What's going on out here? Oh,
have
my
some
gosh,
respect.
Terrible.
Yeah, but anyway, so there was something I was thinking. You said something
that
earlier that I kind
of
wanted to touch upon, because you were kind of talking about, you know, the different religions, and like we say we're all Christians or whatever. Because like I had this thought yesterday about, you know, it's like, so there's like all these, you know, Baptists, the Grace Christians, the Latter-day Saints, and however other many Christian denominations there are. It's like we're all planted from the same, like my thought yesterday I was having is like we're all kind of planted from the same tree, like which is Jesus Christ. We all formed around Jesus Christ, and then this tree grew, and like we're all just maybe different branches of the same tree, you know, but all of us that are Christians, you know, we've been rooted from this one seed, and it all centers around Jesus Christ. And I was talking with my brother the other day, and he says to me, and he's like, Con, like, do you know how many like religions there are like in the world, or like how many churches there are? And I'm like, at first I thought I was like, oh, it's going to be a trick question. How many churches there are? And I'm like, oh, well, no, well, there's only two. He's like, there's the Church of Christ, the people who follow Christ, and the Church of the Devil. And like that's it. So like I don't really think it matters, like maybe what denomination you follow, but it's like, are you following and are you a disciple of Christ? Or are you let in the things of the world lead you? Lead you
Well,
like the things of the
back
world
to what
leading
we
you
were
to
saying,
Satan.
dude. What's it say?
Yeah.
Right? You'll be judged by your what? Fruits.
By your fruits of your labor.
So where's the fruit come from? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it's pretty obvious. Like, when somebody's
Oh,
got
yeah.
good fruit, it's pretty obvious, you know? And that's based upon the godly standard, right? That's based upon Christ's standard, not based upon the world. And that's where people get
Nope.
mixed up. It's like you
Yeah.
see a preacher man running down the road in a Lamborghini with a great big ass house and all the things. That from the world standard, he's got some fruit. But the world's
Yeah.
fruit comes from one place.
One place, yeah.
Not the right one.
And
You
it's
know what
not
I
the right
mean?
one. Yeah.
So, and no, it's not. And I agree with you, man. It's the kingdom or it's not. It's the kingdom or
Yeah.
it's not. And that's just,
For
it's,
sure.
I think, I'll tell you this, and I hadn't said this on the podcast yet, and I really wasn't going to, but since we're talking about it, here we go. So I've been listening to this guy. His name's Jamie Winship. Freaking, he's the one who said they're all gang names, right?
Yeah.
And his big thing is identity, your identity in Christ. And then his other the things he's teaching through these podcasts I was listening to is how to have listening prayer where you're literally trying to converse with the Holy Spirit. Like
Right.
you're trying to get Christ to like, okay, what do I need to learn and what do I need to do, you know? And so
Yeah.
it was like plain as day. This guy has gone in and transformed the lives of millions of Muslims. Like that's what God called him to do, was to go into the Muslim world and spread the good news of Jesus to these people. He moved his entire family, he's married to a Jewish woman, to Baghdad. And
Wow.
you do not want to be a Jewish woman in Baghdad, for the record.
Right.
Anyway, so he goes and he moves his whole family, and he's got all these crazy stories, man. And it's great. The relationships he's built, they're incredible, incredible. And his whole deal is working for the kingdom. Like, I'm a warrior for the kingdom. And I was asking God, I was like, it was really convicting me. It was like, man, this guy has lived such an uncomfortable life. Like, he has followed God into some places that no one would go. No one would go unless God asked you to go there and you actually listened. And so I was like, all right, Lord, I want you to use me. Like, tell me what I need to learn and then tell me what I need to do, you know? And it was like plain as day, man. And I've been very vocal about this on this podcast in several different episodes. Like, I am not a fan of the church. Any church. I just, it is polluted, it is hypocritical. It is unbelievable to me. And my granddad was a pastor, great human, loved him deeply. Do not like church. I do not feel comfortable there. And so it was like plain as day, God was like, I want you to do what Jamie Winship did, but I want you to do it in the church. I want you to do it with people who think they know Christ but do not know him. And I want you to help these people build a relationship with me and to where we can actually grow the kingdom of heaven. What? So this
100%.
weekend, dude, literally tomorrow, I'm speaking at a gathering of churches. And I was like,
Oh,
are you
wow.
guys sure? Are you
Being
guys
like,
sure you
sure.
want me to come? I don't think you do. And so, but the whole goal is not to go in and be like, hey, the church sucks. I hate it. That's not
Right.
the move. That's not a thing. And the church doesn't suck. I started going back 3 weeks ago, and it's been great, man. I've been really filled. The pastor there, he's been incredible. He's word for word from the book. I mean, he's just awesome. And Wiley's
Yeah.
been loving it. So I don't have anything. It's not about condemning anything. It's simply about walking in and helping people understand that there's not a single one of us that knows. We all know nothing. We yep. all deserve wrath. That's it. Every one of us, the best to the worst. And so when you start operating from this perspective of like, well, I deserve wrath and you deserve wrath, I'm just going to love you mm-hmm. and you love me, and we just try to get closer to Jesus together. That's when people are like, I just want to be around you. Like, they almost suck the life out of you because they're like, oh, I just want to be loved by you and I want to be loved by Christ. And
yeah,
it's pretty freaking cool, man. It's been really interesting. Like, at these clinics I've been doing and stuff, I talk about this stuff. Basically, we rope or whatever, because that's what they paid for. But yeah. we spend most of the day talking about this kind of stuff and just loving on people, man. Just loving them. That's it. That's all it takes, is building a relationship with somebody. And then the conviction, once you build a relationship with them and they start to build a relationship with Christ, the conviction comes from this book. It comes from Christ's word saying who you should be. Because once you start to build a relationship with somebody, all you want to do is know their heart. Like, and once you start learning Christ's heart, it changes yours, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know, man. We'll see. I don't know what God's going to do with it. But I really, truly believe, like, that's what he's saying to me. He's like, I want you to go love these people that you don't want to go love, that makes you uncomfortable, because I'm asking you to do it.
Right. Because I mean, you look like after like Christ's crucifixion, it's like, but before that, like, what did he tell his disciples to do? Like, he told them to go out to the Gentiles, you know, maybe the people that they normally wouldn't hang out with or whatever, and go be among the people that would normally cast them out, you know, the people that despise them. Go and preach my word, you know, to the one, to the least of these, you know?
Well, it's funny you say that. So before, like, when Jesus was in Capernaum, he sent his disciples out two by two to go preach to the Jews. And he basically gives you a guidebook of exactly what they should do. So if they go into a village and they are a town and they invite them in, spread the good news. Tell everyone there what I have taught you, and then leave them with your blessing. And then he says, if you go in and they don't listen to what you have to say, or they condemn you, or they try to mistreat you, wipe your feet at the door and leave them to their destruction. And it says, better to be Sodom and Gomorrah than this town. Right. Yeah. So basically he's telling a bunch of Jews to go do that to a bunch of Jews. He's saying, hey, fellas, let's go talk to your people. Right. Let's get this practiced up. Let's go talk to our people. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I feel like he's telling me to do to my people, which my people are Christians. Right. So same scenario. So if we go into a church or go into a group setting or a podcast or whatever, and the truth is to be heard. Right. And the truth is simple. We don't have to make this complicated. It's very easy to understand. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to give it all of it. And then from there, from the point of the person going, hey, man, I love this. This is great.
Yeah.
From that point, me and you and every other person that God chooses to put on this path that I live on, right, is we're just going to walk together down that really narrow road. We're just going to go, okay, we're going to love our families. We're going to love our children. We're going to teach them who Christ is. And then we're going to love every single person that God puts in our life. I don't care if they love, they're a man that loves men, a woman that loves women. I don't care if they're a dude that thinks he's a girl. I don't care. I'll insert craziness here. That's not my job. It's not my job, Con. That's the king's job. My job is to love them. His job is to convict them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you just have to teach them of Christ's love and let Christ's love, you know, work on them to convert them, you know, to change. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
Well, and if they ask me, I'm going to tell them the truth. Do I think being gay is a sin? Yes, I do.
Yes.
It says it very clear.
Yeah.
Very clear in the book.
100%.
Do I care? No, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
No.
It doesn't make sense to me. And that's from a nature perspective. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, and I argued that in college before I was even a believer. I never argued whether or not somebody was born gay or not based on the Bible, because people don't care what the Bible says. So,
yeah,
especially in a college classroom. So to me, it's like, without the relationship, there's two things that you need to convict a person, to really like pour correction into them. There's one of two things. The first one is you can use respect, right? If someone respects you. And the reason why I know this is because I teach roping clinics. So I don't know these people from Adam, right? Mm-hmm. And I show up, and the first thing I'm going to do is correct them, convict them that their roping shot is terrible. I'm going to say, hey, that's no good. That's not what that's supposed to look like. And I don't have a relationship with them, but because I have clout, right? Because they respect me and they know what I can do with the rope, they go, okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Which if they had never seen me rope, they'd be like, fuck you, dude. What are you talking about? Right? You can't tell me how to rope. You can't rope. You know,
like, you can't do it yourself.
Exactly. So the second thing, right? So that's one. Mm-hmm. You can have respect. The second thing that you have to convict someone is a relationship with them. And that's where the church misses. Right? They walk around on the internet, or they walk around in real life, and they tell people how they're stupid and wrong and going to hell, but they have no relationship with them. And so people don't hate Christ. They hate Christians.
Yeah.
And it's because the Christian isn't loving the people like we're supposed to. And it makes sense, because people are very hard to love. You know what I mean? Like, I can totally relate. I don't want to love people most of the time. So,
right. Yeah.
And I mean, it's simply people understanding the principles.
Yeah. Like, I think that's one thing that, like, us as Christians, like, have to do better as. Like, I've gone to, you know, like, churches, you know, and even in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know, it's been like you go to maybe, like, not the word you're used to, but you go to another state or something, and they look at you being like, you know, like a snorty horse, being like, you know, what are you doing? It's like, how come, like, you're an outsider, you know? And that's something as Christians, like, we need to work on, you know, in whichever church. We just need to be welcoming, because, you know, that's what the Savior did. Like, he 100%. Never shunned anybody away. It's like, so that's something I think, as, you know, just churchgoers, like, no matter who shows up, like, we have to be loving and been like, welcome, you know? Because it's like, we want, you know, we don't want the, you know, nicely dressed in suits and smelling like roses every day. You know, we want the people that are coming in, you know, maybe dirty, maybe they smell like smoke or whatever, or alcohol. And, you know, they're coming in with a hangover. Like, those are the people we want to come be like, we don't just need the suit and ties every day. It's like, we want those ones to come in off the street, you know, that are looking. But then when they come in, like, how welcoming are we?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we need to make sure that our hearts are open and welcoming for those that are searching, you know, because us in the church really have, you know, an impact on maybe some of those people that are coming in, been like looking for Christ. But maybe then the first impression they have is like, oh, well, these people are looking at me funny. So maybe I don't belong here.
No, you know, and to that where would be the textbook definition of why I hate a church.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't feel comfortable in there. You feel like a damn sinner. You know, it's like, terrible.
Yeah, you know, and if the Christians are acting like that, being like, well, if these are what Christians are doing, then, you know, I don't want anything to do with Christ.
Yes.
To where.
Well, here's my philosophy, Con, and you tell me what you think about this. So this is what I think the church should be. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I could be totally wrong here, okay? I think, and this is what it is for me, right? So I spend a lot of my time on the internet mostly, but in person as well, trying to love people. That's what I spend a lot of my time doing. And what it does is it sucks the life out of me.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of the week, I'm like wrecked, dude. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, I can't do this anymore. And what I found is, going back to church, because this guy, Pastor Glenn, great dude, is preaching the freaking word, man. It's filling me up, right? And what it's doing is it's recharging me to go back out into the world to love on people.
Yeah.
Right? Church is not a place. Most people aren't going to get saved in those pews. And the pastor should be preaching to Christians. Like, hey, I'm convicting you to go love people. I'm convicting you to know Christ's word. I'm convicting you to understand your relationship with Christ so that you can walk into the world and love the world. Love right?
It. Yeah.
And that's the key, dude. Like, so I've been going back to church and like leaving feeling like I'm going to knock Satan in the freaking teeth on Monday, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's been really cool. But I think a lot of places get hung up in preaching just the happy stuff, right? We're not convicting. Mm-hmm. We're not convicting our congregation because then you, I don't know, don't have memberships. I don't know anything about the church other than how it's made me feel over the years. And what God's been doing for me is changing my heart to like walk in, and even though that dude's looking at me like a snorty horse, I just shake his hand and smile at him. And I'm like, what's up, man? Yeah. You know, how are we doing? You know, right. And it's been really good, dude. It's hard though. Loving people is the hardest. It's the hardest thing you're going to do in your life. One of them, but it's worth it. You know?
No, like I 100% agree with you. Cause I was going to make that same point that like going to church for me is like the same thing. 100% recharge for my week, you know, cause it, you know, same thing, just getting beat down.
Yes.
But then, I mean, like having all these like young kids, it's like, you know, Satan's there being like, oh, you got to, you know, make sure you get all six of these kids ready. Are you going to be ready in time to make it? What if you walk in late? You know, all them people are going to be like, turn and be like, oh, you're walking in late. But you know, it doesn't matter as long as you show up. I mean, show up 5-10 minutes late, you know, you're still going to get there. And you know, maybe your kids are loud and rowdy and you're like, shh, you gotta be quiet. You know, listen to them talk. You know, it doesn't matter like how, what was I going like if your kids are loud or what, you know, it doesn't matter. Like I've come to like realize that, you know, that, I mean, take them there anyways, you know, cause a lot of the older people, you know, I go and they're just like, even if my kids are loud and yell and they just come up and they're like, oh, I just love that you bring your kids. You know, it's just so cute seeing all these six girls every Sunday. You know, and it's
that's the game.
Yeah, so
man, it's great. Awesome. It's gonna, the king is working, man, and that's you know, and I truly believe that if we all focus on our homes, get our homes in proper condition, and then you start loving people and teaching people how to get their home in proper condition. And then you end up with this community of people who are all running down the same road. And the light gets lighter and the dark gets darker.
Gets dimmer, for sure.
Separates itself. And it made it okay for me. What Jesus told his disciples, right, is like, he's basically saying to him, not every person is your person. Not every person is going to be like, don't get hung up on that. Love them, push. Like, if they don't accept it, push. Like, love them, go. Wipe your feet and go. I have a plan for them. You just let me. And then there's people who are just going to
take care of them.
Yeah, they're never going to come around. But it's not my job to condemn or save anyone. It's God does it in and through me. He just loves people. Just love people.
Just love them.
And that's I don't know. And here's the thing, man. This is the beautiful thing about this ridiculous life we live, is I might be dead as a hammer wrong. You know what I mean?
Everybody.
But I'm going to leave this planet and sit in front of my maker and say, I gave it every damn thing I had, man. If I did it wrong, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, but I
tried to understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's all he's asking for, you know, is us to love him and and to try our hardest,
Yep.
and
Yep.
forgive those who forgive us,
That's
and
right.
just love as the Savior loved.
Easier
And
said than done.
it's for sure a lot easier said than done. But I mean, it's I don't even know where I was. I had a thought in my mind, but then it just escaped me. I guess I wasn't supposed to say it. I guess it just
God just snatched it right out of there.
snap. Yeah.
Oh,
So
that's awesome. Well, Con, you got any last words of wisdom for the team here? Anything that's been on your heart that you want to get off?
I mean, just like what's been on my mind a lot is like the armor of God. Just make sure that you put on that armor of God every day when you're going out there, because I mean we are definitely fighting a spiritual warfare. And just make sure you have that armor of God on.
I agree with
And
that, dude.
Because like I was listening to, I think is your latest one or whatever, like you were kind of saying something that you were gonna like pick up your sword and you'd go to battle with us. You got to remember what that sword is, because everything else in the with the armor of God, you have your loins, your breastplate, your shield and your helmet, and those are all like defensive stuff. But then you have your sword, and your sword is like your offense. So that's like your only offensive thing with your armor of God. But the armor of God is the word of God. So I mean, just remember that, and that's the most powerful thing you can take to battle right there is, the word of God. So make sure
No
that,
question.
you're reading your scriptures every day, pray to the Father every day. I mean, it's like the primary, things that they teach in primary day is just the things that, I mean, help everybody every day, just read and pray. And
It's really that easy,
yeah, I
everybody.
know.
It really is. That's it. I mean, there it was. It's that easy.
Because I mean, I
It's
think
not
everybody
that complicated.
tries, I think everybody else tries to complicate it and be like, oh, I got to do this, and I have to do that to be able to do it. And it's like, oh, I have to maybe study this much or whatever. But it's just, read your scriptures daily and pray.
Read and pray, baby.
And like you had,
Yeah.
I can't
I
remember
should
what
make
his
that into
name
a
was.
t-shirt.
Yeah, but it was that guy that you had on with like the gym guy that kind of did the scripture studies with the gym workout. I was listening to like
Oh,
his the
yeah.
podcast you did
Garage
with
Church
him.
Fit.
Yeah, anyways, he kind of said something that really stuck with me about praying, because a lot of the times I get my mind and be like, okay, I really have to pray for this and pray for that. And like he was, just simplify your prayer. I mean, it doesn't have to be extravagant, maybe every now and then, but just simplify your prayer and be like, Heavenly Father, I'm thank you. I'm thankful. I'm blessed, for whatever. And that's just like, okay, well, like when I'm sitting there praying, I'm like, I don't have to overcomplicate my prayer. I can just be like, thank you for what I have. I'm very blessed for the family.
Yes. Yep.
Just
I
don't
completely
overcomplicate
agree with
things.
that. The
Make sure you walk out with
We're
the
too
armor of God. Or,
dumb. You know what I mean?
yeah. I mean, we like
We're
I,
too dumb to make it
me,
hard. Quit making it hard.
I know, because like me, like I just get in my mind and I totally overthink everything, and I just have to keep in mind myself, just simplify it, it's
Yep,
just
that is me too,
simplify.
dude.
So
That is me too. Well, y'all go look up Grim Saddlery. You got a website?
no, I don't have a website hooked up. I just have a Facebook page. It's just under Grim Saddlery. I don't have a
Okay. Well,
website yet.
I'll put that in the description. I'll put that in the show notes below. Y'all can check that out, Grim Saddlery on Facebook. Man, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, man. It's been great visiting with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And hopefully that kind of reaches somebody, I guess. Maybe it's a good story for somebody, or it's at least good for me to tell.
the King's doing something, man. He always is. And I always pray over these episodes, like, Lord, just, I don't care how many people see it, just let the right people see it, you know? And that's
right.
the goal. Because half of the stuff I say on here will probably get me canceled, which would probably increase my rope sales. So if I get canceled, it's okay.
Yeah.
If y'all got to cancel me. Because the people who buy ropes from us would probably love that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, dude, we're canceled.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what I said, like, right before I got, you know, came on here, I knelt down and prayed. I'm just like, Heavenly Father, just whatever you want me to say, just, you know, kind of guide me by the Spirit, and just whatever I say, let it be pleasing to thee, you know?
Yeah.
And so hopefully
that's the way to look at it.
So anyways, yeah. Anyways, thanks for having me, Dalton.
Hey, you bet, man. Guys, as always, if you need me, Dalton@310edu.com is my email address. Please reach out there. If you need my phone number, you can find that at 310edu.com as well. It's all over the place. So y'all reach out. Thank you so much for listening, and never weaken.
Perfect.